Hey everybody, I'm Leon Thomas. That's Miranda Kitterlin Lynch. We're the host of Checking In, a lodging DEI chat. Miranda, how are you?
I am great, Leon. Good to see you. How are you?
I am groovy. It's good to see you as well. And you know the first question on every show. You know the question. I won't even ask. I'll just let you go ahead and provide the answer. Go ahead.
Okay, I don't even have a good excuse for not doing my homework, but I know we're in season two, so I'm going to say episode 12.
Since I don't know the correct answer, we'll go with 12. We'll just say season two, episode 12. I don't know the correct answer. I don't know, but we'll just go with it. And you sold it too.
Thank you.
You sold it. Yes, it is that. So looking forward to a great show here. I want to remind everyone of a couple of things. Number one, you can listen to this show via podcast if you just go to your favorite podcast platform and search Checking In Lodging DHET. We're going to pop up.
Yep.
Secondly, if you go to YouTube and search the Leon Thomas Group, the show's going to pop up there. But here is the big announcement, the big one. LTGN, the Leon Thomas Group NICE Network. NICE stands for News, Information, and Sports. It's up and running. And if you want a link for that, email me until we get it up on our website. You can send me an email to leon@theleonthomasgroup.com. I send you a link to our 24-hour radio station, and this show will be broadcast there. And also, if you want to be on any of the shows, if you want to be on this show, send me an email, or you can contact Miranda. Miranda, how do they get in touch with you?
Just Google me. I'm very easy to find, very hard to hide.
It's a simple thing. All right. We have a great, great episode lined up for today. Miranda, go ahead and introduce our guest, please.
Yeah, I'm super excited about our guest today because I think she's going to be able to share with everybody information about a few things that are happening. Good things. We're always talking about how we want to see the needle move in what we consider to be the right direction. And I think she's going to be able to share some great news with us. And I know in a previous life, you were destined to be a coach, Leon. Anybody who's heard the show has heard you say that you should be out on the court coaching basketball, right?
At UCLA. And I would have won my fifth national championship by now. But go ahead. Yes, you are correct.
Well, we are very fortunate to be joined by an actual coach today. Our guest, Rachel, is actually a leadership coach, and she hosts the Travel Leader Coach podcast, I believe, but let's bring her on so she can tell us about it. Hi, Rachel. How are you?
Hi, good. Nice to see you both. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on. I was just looking at your LinkedIn description and I love it. It says hotel owner, leadership coach, podcast host, travel and marketing enthusiast, mountain biker, Nordic skier. How do you have time for all of these things?
Well, it's always a bit of a balance, but, I take well-being really seriously and I live in the Green Mountains in Vermont. So you can't live there and not take advantage of those things.
You're in Vermont.
Yes.
All right. I have a Vermont story.
Oh,
and I'll keep it under a minute 30. Here we go. I worked for a hotel management company. And I was a task force guy and I was on assignment in Phoenix, Arizona, and it was October and it was still hot in Phoenix and I had on a short sleeve shirt and so forth. The owner of the company called me. He said, in 2 days, I need you to go to Burlington, Vermont. I'm like, all right, cool. Never been to Vermont. He says, oh, you love it. Great people. Lovely hotel. Go. I flew in short sleeves from Phoenix to Philadelphia, had my connecting flight in Philly, landed in Burlington, took a taxi. Who says that anymore? Took a taxi to the hotel and got there at like 1 o'clock in the morning. I get there, the gentleman's working the desk, and I said, hi, I'm Leon, the new general manager. And he goes, I can tell already you're not too smart. I'm like, why is that? He says, you came to Vermont wearing a short sleeve shirt? what's the temperature out there? I go, 18? He goes, you're not smart at all. They sent the wrong guy here. And so we actually ended up being really, really good friends. And he became, he's still in management, still worked in management hotel business.
Oh, that's awesome.
All right, I'm done. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, it looks like you lived to see another day. You didn't freeze to death in Vermont. So that's the good news. Awesome. So, Rachel, will you tell us a little bit about you and what you do, how you've come to be where you are now? You don't have to give us your full life story. Just tell us a little bit about who you are.
Yeah. So I was a general manager for 12 years of my family hotel in Stowe, Vermont. And that was after making a career change from human rights and development work many years ago, right out of college. And during the process of running my family hotel, I became very passionate about leadership development. And over the years, I did a lot of self-study and then ultimately realized that I wanted to do more with leadership and created a leadership retreat for women in hospitality, travel, and tourism called Accelerate. And from that journey, I decided to become a leadership coach. And I've been coaching since 2020 and really just fully focusing on coaching in the last year since we transferred management of our hotel to a management company. So that's what I'm up to.
Awesome. That's incredible. And you're also a member of an alliance that I am also a member of. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So with Accelerate Women Leaders in Travel, we joined the Women in Hospitality Leadership Alliance a couple of years ago. And we meet on a regular basis and talk about the commonalities of issues, particularly facing women in hospitality. And so I've been working with that group and joined a committee to work on getting more women and underrepresented groups on conference stages across the industry.
And to that effect, we recently had the Hunter Investment Conference, correct, in Atlanta? Was
yes.
February? So a couple months ago?
Middle of March.
Mid-March, okay. I have two small children. I don't keep up with time anymore.
I hear you.
So, and I'm sure that some of our listeners have heard it or read about it on LinkedIn or other platforms, but we have some positive news to share from that Hunter Hotel Investment Conference. Would you like to be the one to announce it?
Yeah. You know, through the really hard work of the organizers of Hunter Hotel Investment Conference, like Lee Hunter, one of the principals, and Sarah Moss, who does a lot of the organization, they were able to achieve 51% of diversity on their stages of both women and underrepresented groups. And that was a huge success for them. And we, you know, we've been collaborating with them and supporting different conferences to kind of help remove some of the obstacles and connect to broader networks and support them in any way possible to achieve that goal. So we're super excited for them for that.
I think that's incredible because I could go on for hours about why I believe diversity and representation are important, but I know Leon has shared previously that there are many times that he's been the only person in the room that looks like him. So the more we see people that look like us in places, in platforms, I think that's impactful. So,
yeah. And more people that look like me and you ladies, right? But are there to talk about their expertise other than the expertise of being Black, right? I remember 2 and 3 years ago, and even 4 years ago, where, oh, diversity is big. We got to have a diversity panel. We have to have somebody talk about diversity. And they would get, these conference organizers would get a high-level person in an organization, a vice president, a senior vice president of finance, marketing, or whatever. And they say to them, we want you to come and talk about diversity. Like, no. He should be talking about how to add numbers. He's a finance guy. Let him talk about finance. Now, here's something, though, that happened this morning. I got a text message from an old friend who's putting together a conference for his hotel management company. The conference is going to be in early August. Okay. And he's doing it in Miami in early August. And I'm like, dude, you have hotels in Wisconsin. That's a cooler place to go to. I'm not feeling it. But anyway, he goes through in the text message and he says, I'm looking for Black speakers. And I called him and I said, that's great. You're looking for Black speakers. But is your network so small that you don't know, you don't have anyone in your network that's Black that you could reach out to? And he said, well, that's why I'm reaching out to you. Like, I appreciate that. Am I your only Black friend? Then he called me and said, well, you know, you're not. And we went on and on and on. But I think he understood the point. Yeah, I think he understood the point. So, Rachel, let me ask you this. You mentioned that your family has transferred the operations of your hotels to a management company, right?
Yes.
Did you have any conversations with them about you want women involved, you want minorities, other minorities involved? Does that conversation come up in those type of agreements?
That's a good question. You know, with the way it has not, and that should be part of the conversation for sure. I think that's an excellent question, and it's something that I've actually thought a lot about in terms of our recruitment policies. So it's for sure something that needs to be more part of our conversation. It was a big shift because we actually did end up hiring a male GM to replace myself. And you know, a lot of that had to do with the pool of candidates that we had. It's been really hard, especially in the Northeast, to recruit workforce. I'm sure you're all familiar with the workforce challenges we've been having. But he's great and he's doing a wonderful job. But I think that's a really important question for sure.
Yeah, but something else as a Black man, I have to say this too, though. When I see women progressing and I see good things happening for women, I know that the organizations that they're with, the ownership groups and whatever else it is, that means they understand diversity, right? And so to have you in charge and the things that you're doing, I know that you're doing something to help everybody.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think something, yeah. I mean, I think something that attracted me to this management company was that there are particularly a lot of women in leadership positions. Uh-huh. The president of the company is a woman. And there's a number of, you know, centralized department heads that are women. So that was huge.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, New England is the whitest area of the United States. And so we have a lot of work to do when it comes to diversifying in other ways. You know, that was something that was really important to me.
There's a great line there. New England, what did you say? It's the whitest part of the country or something? What was the term you just used?
That's what I said. I mean, statistically, like Vermont is like the second whitest state. And Maine, I think, probably follows close behind.
Yeah, I know after I spent my 2 months there, when I got back to Baltimore where I live, I was kind of happy to see brothers. I was.
Yeah.
I'm laughing to myself because my husband is from New England and my children argue with me all the time when we go to sporting events or the beach, the pool, because I'm constantly slathering them with sunblock. And they say, Mom, why? And I said, well, your dad's the whitest man I've ever known. So, I want to ask you, coming back to the Hunter Conference and what I believe to be a positive change in having that diversity represented, right? How do you think they were able to achieve that? And let it not go unnoticed that we appreciate our male allies, our white male allies. Absolutely. They're important and we love them. But how do you think that Hunter was able to make that change? Was it about targeting a diverse group? Was it about removing barriers or what would your opinion be on that?
Yeah, sure. I want to get to that question, but just to take a bit of a step back, I mean, back to Leon's point about, you know, his in the last several years, as we've talked about DEI, kind of the first step was creating these DEI panels. And we had a lot of discussions amongst ourselves within the Alliance as well, that we wanted to see more women and underrepresented groups speaking about their area of expertise. So when we were talking with conference organizers and other stakeholders that are involved in the execution of conferences, I think that's really the approach that we were coming from, was how can we get more experts and qualified members of the hospitality community to have a chance to share their expertise. And so, you know, that's kind of like the angle we were coming from as well. And I think, you know, we learned a number of things within this process that we were going through, which was that part of the issue, I think we all know, is the representation of the highest levels of leadership is well under 50%. And one of the challenges is that there is kind of a general expectation that people want to see CEOs on these top, at these hotel investment conferences. They want to see the CEOs on the stage, and they go there to learn from the CEOs. And, you know, that's something that's difficult because, you know, it's a chicken or egg situation in a way, right? But we've really tried to, in our discussions, you know, advocate for casting a wider net, and finding how can you have programming that looks beyond titles and to the topics and content that people want to hear about. And I think that's where there were a lot of successes, both at the recent ALIS conference and at the Hunter Hotel Investment Conference, is that you were really seeing women and underrepresented groups speaking on their expertise content. And for example, I attended a panel on construction and design, and two of the panelists were women. So, you know, and that's not always so typical. But so to get to answer your question, I think to get there, one of the biggest, this also speaks to what you spoke about, Leon, is broadening networks and creating relationships with a very wide group of people. In order to have a bigger pool of candidates who can speak on conference stages. And that's one of the reasons why we are actually focusing our next efforts on creating a speaker directory, and having that as a resource for conferences to use to find the right people for their speaking positions.
Nice. I like it. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. And be sure to please include me and Miranda on that speaker list, right?
100%.
Right.
Awesome. So I love that you share that. Thank you so much. And I think that it is so important that we are opening the doors to broader than just CEOs, right? Because just to your point about the labor pool, right? We can only pick what we have, you know, to choose from. And if we're making it a very narrow pool to pick from, then of course we're going to be limited, right?
Right.
So yeah, absolutely. Is there anything that you've seen in your career as far as the evolution of DEI efforts in our industry that you were impressed by, disappointed by, that you thought could lead to other things? Because you have a rich industry experience under your belt. I'm just wondering how you've seen things change and what you appreciated seeing or what you wish you had seen more of, if that makes sense.
Whew. That's a challenge. You know, I mean, this is totally off the cuff, but, you know, I think that the biggest change is that it's being talked about at all. You know, I think that in my experience, you know, it was so much heads down in the hospitality industry, and you know, there weren't also a lot of resources to learn or have discussions about DEI that were specific to the travel and hospitality industry. And now there's a lot more of those available. I had the chance a couple of years ago to attend the Northeast Travel Unity Summit, which was in New York. And, you know, that was the first time that something like that was available to really talk about real world application of DEI in our, with our travel industry colleagues. So I think there's some, you know, good steps that are being made, a lot still more to be done. But particularly on that education piece and making it more tangible in our industry is a big change.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. Leon?
Yeah. So let's change gears a little bit, but we're still going to have a little bit of diversity conversation here.
Put your clothes back on, Leon.
Do you play racquetball, Rachel? I run a youth racquetball program where we have a lot of minority kids playing a sport that most people don't know about. What about you? Have you played racquetball, Rachel?
I have not. I've played squash in the past, and I was a tennis player, but I don't think I've ever played racquetball.
All right. So we want you to go to Racquetball Revival. That's the website, racquetballrevival.com, and check out what we're doing. Then we're going to plan a trip for you to come to Baltimore to play racquetball. And while we're there, we'll go around and talk to some hotel people too while you're here.
Sweet.
All right. We can get a lot of
confidence.
Miranda, you can come along too.
I'm a really good spectator.
Okay. That's cool. That's cool. We allow spectators. So it is now time. Speaking of Baltimore, it is now time for the two signature questions of the show.
I'm ready.
Rachel, please get a pen. And if you don't have one, pretend that you do.
Okay.
Have a pen and it's on the screen. And what we want you to do, on the count of three, hold it up so we can see it on the camera. On the count of three, we want you to sign something. Ready? Your signature. Here we go. One, two, three.
What am I signing?
I don't know. I don't know why I move my head when I do that. Why can't my head just stay there? Why can't I just do this? All right, we'll do that the next show. Here we go. The two signature questions of the show. Rachel, have you ever had a Maryland crab cake?
I have definitely not.
Have not had a Maryland crab cake. Whoa. So then that's another reason to come to Maryland. Now, when you say you haven't had a Maryland crab cake, you haven't had a crab cake at all, or not one that was an authentic Maryland one?
No, I've definitely had a crab cake, for actually pretty recently, but not a Maryland crab cake.
You have provided actually the best answer we have received to that question. Because we had someone on, I can't remember who, we talked about crab cake before show, after show, and they said, yeah, I had one at a barbecue joint in Kansas City. Shut up, that's not a Maryland crab cake. And so but you said I had a crab cake, but it wasn't a Maryland one. So right on for you.
Of all the times we've asked people this question across the United States and beyond, you have truly provided the best answer to that question.
Absolutely. No, I haven't had one. Next.
So, Rachel, if I may ask you my final question, which is one of our signature questions. If you could go back and tell your 20-year-old self one piece of advice, affirmation, anything, just one thing, what would it be?
Be a better listener.
Ooh.
Yeah.
In all aspects of life?
All aspects of life. Be, and from that follows, ask more questions. And I mean, I don't know if you want some context behind that, but I think it's one of the most important skills you can have in life is with all relationships, anything you do in your work and professional life is learning to listen and listen for what's not being said. Listen for who people are deep at their core. And, you know, questioning and being curious is an important skill that helps in that process. And yeah, I've worked very hard on that in the last 20 years.
That's great advice, especially listen for what's not being said. I think that's excellent. You know, I drop my children off at school every morning. They're in elementary school, so they're still young. And every time before I pull off, I yell something out the window at them. Not anything mean, just like, have a good day, be a good friend, I love you. Right. Tomorrow I'm going to yell at them, be a good listener.
Yeah, it's especially relevant for our children, right?
Awesome. Thank you so much, Rachel. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing with us and our listeners. I appreciate it. And I love everything that you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been great to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you, Rachel. Thanks for being with us. And everyone, thanks for watching and listening to Checking In, a Lodging DEI Chat. I'm Leon. That's Miranda. And our guest today has been Rachel Vandenberg. Thanks for watching Checking In, a Lodging DEI Chat. Take care.